Right. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
We'll begin with prayer in our communion class. Dear Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for all that you're doing, every plan you have, every assignment you've distributed. Lord, we bless it in Jesus' name. Bless it in every speaker today. I pray that you're mightily moved by the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen.
The Lord is good. I was thinking yesterday about the word, how to learn God's word, you have to receive it. Mm-hmm. Believe it and receive it.
Amen.
And then you have faith, and it operates in your life, and that's when you learn it. You spiritually discern. And when we were talking about Jeremiah in a previous class, how the Lord had gave Jeremiah such an unpopular message to give to the king. And he didn't, it took a long process of time before he was, before things would happen. But he gave a good, solid warning. And, excuse me. And the king came to him and asked him, he said in verse 2, he said, "For the king of Babylon's army," let me start at verse 1. This is Jeremiah chapter 32. I just visited a little bit. Verse 1 says, "The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. The word came to Jeremiah from the Lord in the 10th year of Zedekiah, king of Judah, which was the 18th year of Nebuchadnezzar. For then the king of Babylon's army besieged Jerusalem, and Jeremiah the prophet was shut up in the court of the prison, which was in the king of Judah's house. For Zedekiah, king of Judah, had shut him up, saying, Wherefore doest thou prophesy and say, Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will give this city into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall take it. And Zedekiah, king of Judah, shall not escape out of thine hand, out of the hand of the Chaldeans, but shall surely be delivered into the hand of the king of Babylon, and shall speak with him mouth to mouth, and his eyes shall behold his eyes. And he shall lead Zedekiah to Babylon, and there shall he be until I visit him, saith the Lord. Though ye fight with the Chaldeans, ye shall not prosper." Now, this is a very unpopular message to warn the king. Just like any word of God, a warning has to be received before it can be useful. Mm-hmm. And at this time, Zedekiah didn't have ears to hear. He didn't. This was unpopular. Kings, they want to muster the troops, and they want to win. They don't want another king to come and take everything. But Jeremiah said, you got to go and give your life to the king of Babylon, and he'll take it for a prey. Now, that's a very unpopular message, but that's the result of idolatry. That's why it came. So at this point, something comforted Jeremiah, and we won't look at the whole thing, but Jeremiah said, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Behold, Hanamel, the son of Shallum, thine uncle, shall come unto thee, saying, Buy thee my field that is in Anathoth, for the right of redemption is thine to buy it. So Hanamel, mine uncle's son, came to me in the court of the prison, according to the word of the Lord, and said unto me, Buy my field, I pray thee, that is in Anathoth, which is in the country of Benjamin, for the right of inheritance is thine, and the redemption is thine, buy it for thyself. Then I knew that this was the word of the Lord. So Jeremiah had confidence and strength in the word that he was delivering. And he went on to show that people will buy land in this land again, but they're still going into captivity. And he ministered to Zedekiah. But Zedekiah didn't want to hear these things, but it was true. But he did deliver Jeremiah out of the prison twice. So he was spared when Nebuchadnezzar caught him, he killed his sons and put his eyes out and took him prison. But his sons were worse than he was. They got killed because they wanted to kill Jeremiah. Zedekiah intervened. When the Lord speaks, we can't treat spiritual knowledge like natural knowledge. Natural knowledge is easy to process. A person can teach you a skill. You do it this way, you don't do it that way, this is why this works, and you can judge and understand. Mm-hmm. The spiritual things, you have to believe it.
Amen.
And then receive it. Mm-hmm. And then you learn it last. You don't learn it up front. And people have such a struggle. If you don't have the love of God in your heart, it's not going to work. You'll push it back. It won't make sense to you. Mm-hmm. The only people who follow through with the things of God, they have love in them. They have love for the truth. They may be wrong, but they have a love for the truth. When they see the truth, they want that. They might be acting out because they don't have that kind of love. A lot of people join gangs because they have camaraderie. And since they're so far below the scale of love, that any kind of reception is good to them. Mm-hmm. So the gang members say, well, we're your family now. And they use them for their own gain, but they treat them good. And so, but when we have the love of God and we express it, anybody that has love in them, they're going to be activated. The light that you live activates people who are on the verge of anybody that desire the things of God. Your light will activate them because they are in a mode to receive the things of God. They may not know what they're looking for. They may not know what, they don't know all the things of God yet, but they can respond to our kindness and our love and our faith. When they see your life healed, mm-hmm. and you're living according to the word, you're displaying the heart of God. That's what we're designed to do. We are the light of the world.
Amen.
Because the things of God are spiritually discerned. Mm-hmm. We live a life that's spiritually discerned.
Yes.
And the proud will hate you for it. But those, it's God chose the light and rejected darkness. They chose darkness, so now darkness has come upon them. That's why Jeremiah's message was so distasteful. But it was of God. Yes. So everything that's of God has to be received. We believe it. We're attracted to it because it's true, and it gets our attention. We believe it.
Jesus.
Then we receive it. Then it's faith. Believing is dead faith. Believing is saying, you know, when Moses said, eat the Passover and put the blood on the doorposts and lintels, that's something people could believe because, you know, that's what Moses said do. Everything else happened, they believed it. But it was faith when they did it. Faith is a verb, it's action. It's acting on what you believe. The demons believe and tremble, but they can't get in on it. But we believe and then we act, we speak. When you speak or act, that's faith. So when we trust the Lord with what he give us to do, we have to mix faith like Zedekiah should have done. That was a point that when Jeremiah was giving Zedekiah these words, that if he would have went out to the king and just gave him his life, the king would have let him stay in Israel with his family. But he was afraid. He said, "I'm afraid of the Chaldeans." In by his own words, his faith, his what he trusted more was his fear in the Chaldeans more than the God of Israel. He put what God said on the lower scale. Even though he could believe that what Jeremiah was saying, but he not enough to act. He acted on what he trusted the most. And that's what people do. Whatever they trust the most, that's what they will act on. But what we trust, what we believe in, what we have faith in is adjustable. And to keep from having train wrecks, I started speaking that I will do all that's in God's heart. I have so many tracks. You know, God's rapport with me is way on over the top. Every time he tells me to do something, it's a process of time, but it works. It always did. And there were times when he would give me something to do, I'd do it, and then nothing. I wouldn't hear anything else about it, and he went on to something else. And I'm waiting for some. I thought I was going to see something, but that was a great duration of time, sometimes years. And then he'd start giving me more to that same work. And I didn't know. I said, well, the only way I'm going to find out what he's doing is to keep doing what he said to do.
There you go.
And so every time he says something, I just do the new thing. And then I do the next thing, duration of time. You know, that's a challenge all by itself. But if you're looking at him, it takes all the, you know, the pain out of it. When you follow the peace, you're following him. I love to listen to Henry Gruber. The kind of revelation that he gets and the kind of miracles that he, that's the kind of thing, these are the kind of things that I saw as I trusted God. But when he got started, the Lord said, always go with peace and a song. He said, when you don't have the peace, don't do it. And he followed the peace, and the peace would, he would go right where God wanted him, say what he wanted, what God needed him to say, and it would work. Well, I did the same thing. And he said that he would go to places where people got killed. The blood would cry out. And sometimes he'd have a vision of what happened. He said in Japan, that were places where they killed Christians. In fact, I was listening to him yesterday. Hiroshima and Nagasaki is where they killed the most Christians. And the blood was crying out. And the samurais, that was a samurai tribe in the north and in the south, and they used to fight each other. But when people started getting saved, the samurais had to kill every Buddhist within 300 feet of the Christians. And they killed Christians and they killed Buddhists who didn't tell on them. The samurais did. That was a lot of bloodshed. And he had visions of these things. And he would go and remit the sins. And you know, he said this. Every time he remitted the sins where there was bloodshed, the land, they started having prosperity. Before, there was no prosperity in those places. And then when he would remit the sins and forgive the sins of the place, then there would be a hotels, homes, churches, all kinds of things. He said there's a lot of churches. See, when you follow God's assignment, it won't make sense to the mind. You have to receive what God is saying. And then you have to have faith enough to act on it. So everything that the Lord had called me to do for years, the things that he gave me to do in the last few years, it all works together. You know, the radio ministry, then the website, the way he did it, the way he structured it. And it was all step by step, order by order, assignment by assignment. Because when you receive what he say, you're on board with it. A work of God takes time. But God is time. He knows he's got the time. He can control the time. But when you're on board with him, that's when you see the greater works, having that trust in him. And you start with believing, but that's dead faith, and then you act on it. Now it's you every work of God, a man starts it. Whatever he wants you to do, it'll be by your faith. And when you have the anointing, it's your faith initiates and the anointing takes over. It works. He can cause us to do the things that we normally couldn't do. And then there are rewards. I talked about how Barak was, he would write what Jeremiah dictated. and then take it to the king. Well, he ended up getting a blessing because he didn't get captured. And he couldn't get killed either. Because, and also, the Ethiopian, Ebed-Melech, he was let go also. They didn't hurt him or capture him. The anointing that was on Jeremiah got on them because they helped Jeremiah. Ebed-Melech went to the king and said, what they're doing to Jeremiah is wrong. That's evil. And then the king told Ebed-Melech to get some men and go get him, and they got him. So when Judah was captured, those two men were just like Jeremiah. The Chaldeans let them go. They were free. So when we commune with the Lord, that's the only way I know to stay on board with what God is doing. There were times I had so many questions, and I said, Lord, I want to do everything you say, but now he stopped talking. But I was still in faith. I said, well, the only way to see what's going to happen is do whatever he say. And I had vowed to do that anyway. But I'm just saying it works. When the next step will come, and it works. And you'll get to see the handiwork of God. But it's not without, like Mary said, communion, talking to him, enjoying his presence, receiving from him, making the adjustments. Okay, 1 Corinthians 11, verse 24. This is a meal of faith.
Amen.
We have true fellowship with the Lord. Verse 24. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. Keeping our eyes on Jesus. When he did this, they remembered that he always had victory. He always had more than enough. He was always in the Father's will. He always did what the Father gave him to do. They needed that kind of vision to stay with them and not be. And that's what should never be forgotten. Any comments? Questions? All right. Dear Lord, I thank you for your word. And I thank you for being in our midst. I thank you for all that you're doing. Help us to continue to do all that's in your heart. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen. Amen.